And I want to go back to last week just a little bit, and let's go back to 1 Timothy, and let me go there, 1 Timothy. We were talking about the Great Supper and how that God invites everybody to the Great Supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb, but not everybody goes. And we said the privileged and wealthy rarely accept this opportunity to be saved. 1 Timothy. And let me just read chapter 6 and verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So, just a couple things. We talked about how the rich people oftentimes don't accept the gospel because they don't think they need God. Their God is their money, and they don't have need of anything, so they don't know they need God. And we talk about how that oftentimes when you become rich, you become cold, you become hard, you become more greedy. Rich people are generally more greedy than poor people. And I know the greedy poor people can be greedy, but that's generally a rule, is that poor people are more generous. If you go to the third world, everybody kind of shares everything, and the neighbors, and you go to a poor neighborhood, many times somebody who has major family problems, and somebody's very poor and put out, they will help other people in their family who've all been messed up, and sometimes they're very giving, even though they don't have a lot, and that's not all that uncommon. Having said all that, and we talked about that, I want to say this: Jesus did, and the Lord in this parable that we read in Luke did invite them. See, the other problem you can have is you can say, well, you know what? Yeah, those terrible rich people, those rotten rich people, you know. Rah, rah. But you know what? They were invited. And somebody should take the gospel to everybody. Poor, rich, every culture, every background. Somebody needs to take the gospel to everybody. And so never say, well, just they're more hard. And they are. When you go witnessing in a richer area, they are harder to the gospel. However, Jesus died for them too. And somebody needs to go to them. Somebody needs to go to the middle class. Somebody needs to go to the poor. Somebody needs to go to the third world. Somebody needs to go to the billionaires. Everybody deserves an invitation. And we want to make sure that we don't look down on people. There are people who are rich. In verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded or trust in uncertain riches. So some people are rich and spiritual. It's not really common, but it can happen. It doesn't say it's impossible. It's that it's harder than for a camel to pass the eye of a needle. But with God, all things are possible. And so it is possible. And same, by the way, same passage. All things are possible with God is the same passage where it says it's harder for rich men to pass through the eye of a needle. It says, with God this is impossible, or with man this is impossible. With God all things are possible. And so that's what it teaches. And I want us to remember that. All right, we're going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll move on to the rest of the lesson. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Father, and just teach us what your word has for us this morning, Lord. Help us to learn to be witnesses and soul winners and taking the gospel to everybody, Lord. We need your help. We need your love. We need your wisdom. I pray today, Lord, that the word of God would go forth powerfully. I pray the word of God would do a great work in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds. And I pray we'd grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray today we'd learn how to win souls and be more effective at it. And we ask your spirit would teach us now, Lord. We need Him to be our guide and comfort and teacher of the Word of God. And I pray, although I am standing behind the pulpit, I pray that your Spirit will be the one speaking to each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a few things. We started just last week, and we just touched it. But the next point in the Great Supper, if you turn back to Luke 14, Luke 14, and let me go back where we were last week. And let me just start at verse 16. A certain man had made a great supper and bid many, and sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with all one consent began to make excuse. And first said unto them, I have bought a piece of ground, and all those excuses they made. And verse 21, a servant came and showed the Lord these things, and the master of the house Being angry, he said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto him, Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And so just a couple thoughts here out of this that we didn't get to. I want you to understand God uses promotion. And we just started in the last week. People who are very spiritual and have good intentions many times say, well, you shouldn't bribe somebody to come to church. And so we'll give a kid a bag of chips or somebody will give a special bonus or we'll give them a family photo or treasure hunt. And somebody say, you shouldn't bribe somebody to come to church. There's a big difference. It's not bribing if it's for doing a good thing. It's called reward. Every parent rewards their kids if they're a good parent. There's nothing wrong with saying, if you clean your whole room or whatever, if you do this extra thing, I'll give you this. Now, if you have to bribe them to not do wrong, or to do wrong, that's bribing. If you have to reward them for simple obedience, then it's wrong. But if occasionally you reward somebody, listen, your boss says, you know what, if we make this much money, I'm going to give everybody a bonus. You will not bribe me. I will not take your dirty money. Well, give it to me then. I'll take it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing immoral about that. And to give somebody a reward, listen, Bible says, Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. God says, Given it shall be given unto you. God rewards you for doing right. All over the Bible, it talks about rewards in heaven. There's nothing wrong with rewarding people. And by the way, the problem is people aren't spiritual. You can't expect... You ought to go to church just because you love Jesus. Jesus who? You ought to go to church because you love Jesus. Who's Jesus? Don't expect an unsaved person to be spiritual. They're in darkness. So there's nothing wrong with going up to somebody and here's some kids and I say, You bring your friend to church tomorrow? I will give you a bag of potato chips. Okay. And they bring their friend to church tomorrow, and they get a bag of potato chips, and their friend comes to church and gets saved. Well, you shouldn't have done that. That's not you. They say come because they love. They should bring their friends because they love Jesus. Well, so should you, but you don't either. We're going to give a reward. And so the kid comes to church, he gets saved, and that kid who came to bring their friend, all of a sudden they hear more about God's love, and they say, you know what? I really want to serve Jesus because I love Him. And they start growing, but they didn't grow. They didn't come to church because they weren't spiritual. Now they come to church, they can learn how to be spiritual. Listen, if you read the New Testament, Jesus had great multitudes following him, and it wasn't all because he was a good teacher. The lepers did not come to Jesus to go and hear the word of God. They wanted their leprosy gone. The blind came to Jesus to be healed their blindness. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with coming to Jesus and coming to... Listen, a lot of times I pray so I'll get something from God. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing at all wrong with that. God uses promotion, and we use promotion at Open Door. Not always. Eventually, we were going to not do anything for people, and you just come to church because you love Jesus for a while, and we'll keep doing that. But initially, it's nothing wrong with trying to get them to the Great Supper to go get a big feast. And they invited everybody. They halt... The poor, the blind, the maimed. It's gotten a little tougher nowadays because the idea of poor has changed. Poor is not like it used to be. It used to be able to give a kid a hot dog or a bag of chips and he was fine. Nowadays, it's like you had to give him a PSP or something. I mean, they have so much. Everybody has so many things nowadays and kids are so bored and they want so many things. But man, we've used promotion through the years. We used to not only give away goldfish when I was in Chicago, we gave away goldfish for every kid who came. But they got bored of the goldfish. And their goldfish always did the backstroke after a little while. And I always told them, when your goldfish has a backstroke, that means it wants to swim down the toilet. And so we would give them goldfish. But then we started saying, I will eat a goldfish if you'll come to church. Anybody ever eat goldfish? I think there's done it before. One person in the bus ministry. I remember I first time I took it, I said, oh my soul, I'm not going to chew this thing up. So I took it, swallowed it. That wasn't too bad. It took a small goldfish, swallowed it. It's probably still swimming around there. And swallowed the thing. Well, then one time I did that, and they said, we're going to have a ladybug margarita goldfish. And here she comes, and she takes a goldfish, and she puts it in her mouth, and she chews it up. And now they said, we're going to have me. They told, I'm going to come up and eat a goldfish. You're not going to let a girl out, do you? Are you? Oh, man. Now, I don't mind fish, but I like a lot of batter around it and stuff. So I said, I'm not going to let a girl outdo me. So I take that thing, put it in my mouth, chomp, chomp. The nastiest thing in the world. And man, I'm not picky about food. It was so nasty. And I chewed it up and I was like, swallowed it. All the kids like, you know, oh, gross, let me see. And so they were all grossed out. And then he said, I don't think he could swallow it. He was too gross, I didn't swallow it. Show it to me. And I opened my mouth, but there is a fish eye on my tongue. Oh, the kids went, oh, that was terrible. Let's do that next week again. And so we did that, and we got the kids to come to church, and they learned about Jesus and after the fish thing. So you promote things. You bring people to church, and you give them promotion, you reward them, and there's nothing wrong with that. But eventually, if you have to come to church because somebody gives you something, you need to get right and do it because you love Jesus and because you want to learn the Bible. But initially, you're not spiritual. It's okay to use promotion. Bring them in. And God bids us to do that. Next, the Lord wants us to go to those who want it. Verse 21. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And he says, go to those who want it. The blind and the poor and the people like that, they don't have anything. You know what? I want you to go to them, because they'll take it. Listen, I when we go witnessing, we'll knock on a door and somebody, I don't want to hear about that. You know what we say? All right, have a good day. I'm not, if they don't want the gospel, I'm not force feeding people. I'm looking for somebody that God's prepared, somebody who wants to be saved, somebody who wants to hear about God. I'm looking for those who want it. See, some people, God speaks their heart and they say, I want to know I'm going to heaven. And you need, now, the hard part about it is it discourages people. Is you have to go through the people many times who don't want it to find the person who does, but it's worth it. You just keep on going. You keep on going, and if somebody says, I don't want to hear that, you know what? You love them, you be kind to them, you say, have a great day, and you go to the next person, because you got to find, God says, go to those who want it. They want the truth, I want them to have it. Find the people who are receptive. Don't waste your time knocking your head against the wall who somebody isn't ready. That doesn't mean you give up on them. That just means right now they're not ready. And you wait till God works in their heart, and you pray for God to work in their heart, and go find somebody who's ready. Don't try to force those who don't want to be saved. You can't. You can't force somebody to be saved. You can't force somebody to want to serve God. But you go to those who want it. Next, we are to urgently go everywhere. Look, if it says in a couple things. It says, if you go down to verse 23, and the Lord said to his servant, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. And then in verse 21, it says, in the middle of the verse, it says, then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. You go everywhere. If you ask me, what's the best biblical pattern to witness? Is it to your neighbor? Is it to your family? Is it door to door? Is it house to house? Is it preaching in the street corner? Is it in the jail? Is it in the nursing home? Is it, and I say, yes. Anywhere. He says, go into the highways and hedges. Go back in the bushes. Go back in the highways. Jesus met Zacchaeus in a tree. I mean, just go anywhere. Anywhere there's humans and they are breathing, that's a good place to go to them. And you go anywhere you can, any way you can, any time you can, to anybody you can. It doesn't matter where it is. If it's in the store and you got an opportunity to witness, you witness there. If it's on the street corner, you got a chance to witness, you witness there. If it's a bus stop, you witness there. If it's in the jail, you witness there. Paul would get put in jail and he'd say, okay, I got a new crowd of people to witness to. I'm going to witness here in jail. Everywhere's a good spot to tell about Jesus. Every spot's a good spot to go. Every time is a great time. It says, be instant in season, out of season, preach the word. Highways and hedges. There are so many opportunities out there. We run across so many people. And it says go urgently. It says go quickly. See, the thing in the Bible is, yes, they went door to door and house to house. And yes, they went in the synagogues. And yes, they went in the temple. And yes, they went in the marketplaces, which is like a mall nowadays. And yes, when they would get put in front of a court, they would preach there. And when they got put in the middle of a crowd, they would preach there. And everywhere they preached. And when we get the urgency of going quickly and Jesus may come at any moment and there's a lot of lost people out there who need the gospel and we just go. That's the right attitude. You don't need to debate about where to go, when to go, how to go. Go. Just go. I was just thinking this morning, I don't know why I was thinking, I was just driving along thinking, what if a big earthquake happened this morning while I was driving and picking people up? I said, would I try to go back to church or would I go back or go around here and try to rescue people where I was or anything? And I thought, you know, I guess I'd go back to church and make sure people at church is okay, my family's okay, and then I'd just start at the church because everywhere, if there's a serious earthquake, people would need help. You couldn't lose by saving anybody anywhere. And it's like that with the gospel. You're not going to lose by witnessing to anybody at any time. The problem, can I tell you this? This is real important. In Christianity, the problem isn't that people are going wrong, and the problem isn't that people are going to the wrong places, and they're not witnessing properly. That is not the problem. The problem is people aren't going. That's all the problem is. Churches are not witnessing anymore. Churches are not evangelistic anymore. Churches are not soul winning anymore. And the Bible teaches they were constantly scattered everywhere preaching the gospel. And we have got to just go. That is the key in this parable. He says, go quickly, go into the highways and hedges, and go all the places. All right, we're going to go to my next lesson. I just wanted to finish up that lesson of the Great Supper. And we're going to go to Matthew 4 and go into a new lesson. And we'll finish this one up today also. And we'll go into principles of witnessing next week. See, Pastor, if there's so much in the Bible about witnessing and going and being urgent and all these things, the Great Commission and stuff, why do other churches don't go? Why is it only Open Door and the cults out there on the streets? I have no idea. Because their Bible says the same thing my Bible says. Go. And churches are dead and they do not witness. I think they want people to save. I think they try to get them to come to church and get saved. And it's awesome. Get them to come to church and get saved. That's a great way. However, you got to go. And go everywhere all the time. And we want that. And you got to get that urgency. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Principle of soul winning, next principle here, as we see in the Bible, is go fishing. Go fishing. I like fishing. I don't get to go fishing hardly ever. Randy and Josiah and Timothy and I went fishing this year. And I hope I do better in soul winning than I did fishing that day. I didn't do so good the fishing. The fishing is all over the Bible. And he started, Jesus, when he said, I'm going to start my ministry, let me start with two fishermen. And he calls them by saying, follow me and I will teach you how to fish for men. Fish for men. And so Jesus immediately starts out with an establishment here of, you will go fishing for men now, not for fish. And so we see that witnessing is like fishing. Witnessing is like fishing. Let me just give you a few reasons and a few just thoughts about that. And a principle that Jesus teaches us here when he talks about that fishing is like soul winning. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. The first point about this is go where the fishing is good. Go where the fishing is good. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 8. Paul says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. A great door and effectual is open to me, so I'm going to stay here. Listen, in some spots in the Bible, people would go and everybody get saved. Other spots, they didn't listen. And Jesus, when he talked about the disciples and he sent them out, the 70, you know what he did? He sent out 70, and what he told them is he said, go out and go out there, but if they won't receive you, dust the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. If people do not want to hear it, go somewhere where they'll hear it. And if they will receive you, put your peace upon that house and preach the gospel there. He says, I want you to learn to go. Does that sound my PA, or is that something else? Okay. Maybe it's the earthquake I was talking about. he says, I want you to go where they're receptive. Paul said, I'm not leaving anywhere. I've got an open door here. Sometimes you'll find an opportunity where God has a spot that is good fishing. I remember when I was a teenager, I went witnessing over in Westland. The next city, we were in a tri-city area. Next city over was Westland and Westland, Oregon. And I went to Westland, and I went up in a hill, and I just knocking on doors. It was kind of a nice area. And as I went up the street, I got top of the hill, and there was one kind of run-down house. And that run-down house, I went inside, and I, a teenager answered the door, and I started witnessing them. And they said, hey, come on in. Tell my friends about this. And so they invited me. It was just a teenage flop house, just teenagers everywhere. And so they said, he said, this guy is going to talk to us about God. And so they all sat down, and I sat down, and I said, okay, well, first of all, I want to teach you guys how, and well, if you want me to, I'll witness to y'all. And I think there was five teenagers there, and I said, man, you guys, this is how Jesus died for your sins and rose again. You're all sinners, and you want to accept Christ your Savior. And they asked a few questions. We prayed, and I think four out of the five accepted Christ. I went back the next week to visit that same house, and there's different teenagers there. But actually, two of them came to me to church that week. Next time, there was different kids there. Witness to them. Every time I went to that house, there was different kids there, and every single time they would say, "Hey, come on in. Hey, we got some new friends. Won't you tell that about too?" And we'd witness to them. And man, it was awesome. So every week, I just made my appointment to go to where all the teenagers hung out, and they weren't there to praise the Lord. They weren't there to do anything great, but they were there, and it was good fishing. And you know what? If I go to a certain fishing hole, every time I cast my line out, I catch a 10-pound bass, guess where I'm going fishing next week? I'm going back there, or I'm going to sell my secret spot to somebody for a whole bunch of money. I went back to that house. There was a drug house in Oregon City that I used to go to all the time. And every time I went to that house, a new batch of drugged out teenagers were there. And the mom was a disaster and the family, I mean, it was just a mess. But you know what? It was good fishing. Witness there all the time, go to the same house. We'd go pick up there on Sunday and see who'd stumble out of the house and come to church. You know, it was good fishing. Certain neighborhoods I've been to. I remember I went to one neighborhood, it was some projects in another city, Milwaukee. Every time I went there, I just led people to Christ. And there's one girl who just had nothing to do, and she was 14 years old, and she just hung around. She just kind of did nothing. And every time I come in, she would just go up and just watch me witness to people. She got saved the first week. And so after a while, she would start finishing the gospel. You know, he's going to tell you Jesus died and rose again from the dead. And then I would start talking, and she'd sometimes say, you forgot to tell him this part. You know, last time you talked about how they spit on him. You didn't say that this time. And she would do that. And I'd witness there, and people get saved all the time. We've had the same thing at Appian Way. So why do you go to Appian Way every single week? Because I get a lot of people from there. I don't know if that's very scientific. I don't know. If the fishing's good, fish like that spot. I don't know if the bugs land there. I don't know what the deal is, or if that's just where the pool is good, or where the rapids land end or whatever. All I know is it's good fishing. And if it's good fishing, keep on going there. That's why I like mission trips. I like mission trips. I don't have time to take a mission trip to a hard country. I'm not going on my mission trip to Saudi Arabia. Would I go to Saudi Arabia if God led me to? I'd go there. I'd preach in the middle of Medina, or what's the Mecca? God told me to. Once. That would all get by with it, but you know what? Do it. You know what? I don't think a fishing's too good there right now. God may call you where the fishing isn't great. But if you got a choice, go where the fishing's good. Hey, I take my mission trip to Philippines, Africa, Mexico. I want to see a lot of people saved. I want people who want to hear the gospel, want to get saved. I don't want to knock my head against the wall if people are hard. And there's hard places in the world. And, you know, it's interesting. God called me to one of the hardest places in America, the Seattle area. It's one of the least gospel places in America. And God called me here. But you know what? That's where God called me. So I'll go fishing here. But I like to look for the good fishing holes, and that's what we want to do. Number one, go where the fishing is good. Paul said, I'm not leaving there. I got an open door right now. I'm going to stay here while it's open. Number two, draw the net. Draw the net. And I'll understand when you went fishing in these times, and I'll just read Luke. It's Luke 5:1, just that chapter. He saw them at the lake, and he said, launch out and go into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And when they had done this, they enclose a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. See, if you go fishing and you don't reel in your line, you don't cast in the net and pull the net in. He said, go and drop your nets in there and pull them in. I mean, I think you ought to try to get people saved on the spot. That's what they did in the Bible. They wanted to, do you want to receive Christ today? Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. When I witness people, I don't want to say, no, you think about that. I'm going to leave and I'll come back and talk to you next week. You don't have a guarantee of next week. He might die that day. Invite them. Hey, the Ethiopian eunuch on the chariot got saved right there on the spot. Give them a chance right there to get saved. During a church service, we give an invitation. You want people to have a chance to get right with God and get saved. Pull the net in. Hey, got a whole bunch of net in there. No, a whole bunch of fish in there in the net. Okay, pull it in. Because if you don't pull it in, they won't. You don't get the fish. D.L. Moody made this mistake, the great evangelist, and it changed his ministry. He preached in the 1800s, and he had God spoke to people's hearts, and he preached about Christ and salvation, and he could sense in his church that there were hundreds ready to get saved and ready for the, and he just sensed God spoke to their heart, and they were just ready to respond, and he told them, I want you to consider this, and next week make your decision. And that week, the Great Chicago Fire happened, and hundreds of people that were in that service died. And he said, I'll never again finish a service without an invitation. You got to pull in the net. Next, launch out and obey. Luke chapter 5 and Luke chapter 5 and verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed with him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out in the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on his knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord, for he was astonished that there were, and all there with him, at the draught of fishes which were taken. Launch out, listen, they've been fishing all the whole time, and we'll deal with that in the next point. They've been fishing the whole time, haven't caught anything, and Jesus says, go out there and launch out, and go drop your nets again, and do it this way. And he says, listen, they could have said no. We've already been fishing for a long time. We don't need to fish again. We've already tried this. You got to launch out. Can I say this real simple? If you're on the shore and you don't let your nets out, you don't catch any fish. One of the most humorous things that happens with a church like ours that goes everywhere all the time and trying to win souls all the time. One of the most humorous things is someone will say to us, you know what? That doesn't really work. There's better ways to reach people. Da 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 da. This is how you should do it. You should do it this way. It doesn't work. You don't need a witness like that and go to people and confront them and talk to them and talk to strangers and this and that. There's one question that always stops that really quick. It's this. Okay, how's that working for you? That ends the discussion every time. Because how many souls are you winning and how many disciple people you disciple and how many people are serving God because of your great witnessing ideas. See, if you don't go out and let your nets out, if a church doesn't go out and start ministries, if a church doesn't go out and try to reach people, if you just think, we're here and we have a sign up, we're going to reach the world. I don't know about the rest of the world, but that didn't work in Seattle. Not a lot of people just go because you have a sign out and say, I want to go to church. Not lost people. They want to sleep in on Sunday. They want to watch football on Sunday. They aren't going to go and say, you know what? There's a sign there. I've been going and drinking and smoking and carousing all week long. You know what? A sign. I've never seen a sign before. I'm going to drive in there. How many of you started going to church because there was a sign on the side of the road? Raise your hand. Zero. How many of you went to church because someone talked to you? The rest of you. And You know, or your parents brought you, and that's part of being invited. Listen, I think I'd have a sign on the road. We have extra signs. When you get time, remember to put them up. Are they on Pack? Wherever are we? Do we put them up? We have signs up on Pack Highway today. We have two signs up there by the road. And sometimes people come for signs. We ask all our visitors, how'd you hear about the church? But most of them come because somebody says, hey, I want to ask you a question. You know, if you died today, you go to heaven. Or I want you to come to church with me. And they invite them. If you don't go fishing, you don't catch fish. If you don't obey God, you don't reach the world. If you don't go, as Jesus commanded us, go ye therefore, then you don't reach the world. You are supposed to go and tell to people about Jesus. And that's the biblical command, and that's the biblical pattern. And last of all, let me say, go where Jesus tells you to fish. Go where Jesus tells you to fish. Verse 4, it says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He says, go out and launch out in the deep. A couple things there. First of all, he says, go out in the deep. Go out away from where you are right now. Go away from your comfort. Go out in the deep part, in the scary part, in the more dangerous part. I just want to say this. It takes faith to go out and reach souls. You got to launch out. You say, I'm shy. That's okay. Go anyway. Launch out into the deep. It's not my gift. Doesn't matter. Everybody's called. Some people are better at it, but everybody's called. Launch out in the deep. You're supposed to just go. But I don't know how to go or what to do or where to go. Launch out in the deep. But I've tried all the time and nobody listens to me. Launch out. I know you didn't catch any fish last night, but if you do it at Jesus' command, it goes a lot better. As I've been to the mission field and I've been around the world and as I've witnessed in different spots in America, I pretty much landed at one of the hardest places I've been at to witness. But I believe we'll see great things happen here because we've launched out in the deep where God has us. I think God can bring revival and have a bigger church and change this entire area in Seattle just as much as if I was in Dallas, Texas. God's not limited. Just as much as I was in somewhere that's in the middle of Bible Belt. Listen, everybody I witnessed to in the Philippines, every one of them got saved. That wasn't saved. Filipinos are very receptive to the gospel and very open. And by the way, when they get saved, they get on fire for God. When I was in Mexico, boy, we had a lot of people saved. They are very receptive to the gospel. Not everybody there, but a lot of them did. We had a pretty good amount in Brazil. Brazil was not as open. When I was in Guam, we had good, soul winning was great there. Different places I've been around the world, I said, you know what? It's easier. We go soul winning when we're in Santa Clara, California every year when we go to the conference. You know what? It is way easier witnessing there. People are way nicer than they are here. However, Jesus didn't tell me to go there. Jesus told me to go here. Jesus didn't tell me to go to the Philippines. Pastor Mutcher was talking, and we were at a missions conference, and he's talking about he went to one country, and he said whenever I preach, a huge crowd would come. And he said, I went to this country, and it's the people were so open, and they were so teachable, and they just gave their lives to Christ, and they served God, not like Americans. Oh, I'll go to church, maybe, and if I'm not busy, and if I don't have things to do, and if it's not fun, and you know. He says, they just gave life to God. And he looked at this missionary, and the missionary there was not very talented and not very gifted, and he didn't have a big ministry, but he had a ministry of 100 or 150 people. And he said, you know what? I think if I was here, I could run 5 or 6,000 people here. But he said, but God didn't call me here. And so it wouldn't be blessed. It wouldn't be because it wasn't God's will. That's not where Jesus told me to launch out into. And so he stayed down in Oregon. And I think, you know, if I were in this spot, boy, we could have a huge church. But God didn't tell me to go fishing there. He told me to go fishing here. In the least church area in America. That means we're going to need God's power. But you know what? It's exciting to be where people don't go to church. It's exciting to be where there's a lot of lost people. We're not seeking for somebody who doesn't know about God. Just pick a person. They probably don't. And it's wide open. We just need God's power and God's blessing to see God do a mighty work. What a big work I could do if I was just here. What a big work if I just had somebody else's talent. You don't worry. You are you, and you go where God told you to go. You might not be the best, most. You might be shy. You might not be the most outgoing. You might not be able to win a lot of people to Christ. But it wasn't because they were such good fishermen. They couldn't fill up two boats with the fish. It wasn't because they're such good fishermen. It's because they obeyed Jesus. And God's blessing and God's power does great things. And if you'll believe in the power of God and obey Him, you can go fishing and catch a lot of fish. But if you do your plan and your idea and don't obey God and go where you think you want to go, you don't see the blessings of God in your life. And I don't want to live that way. I want to see boats full of fish. I want to have a string of this full of fish. And that happens because you follow Jesus' plan and do what he says. And I think it's so wise and so great what Peter said in verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and I have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, thy word. What would happen if churches would say, you know what? I might not have seen any blessings yet, or I might not have seen how witnessing would work, or maybe I've tried all my own ideas and they didn't work. But you know what? At God's word, I'm going to keep on going and obey him. Oh, I think we'd see God do great things. But so many people just want to do their own plan and say, okay, it doesn't work. Follow Jesus' plan. It works real good. Go fishing, and he'll make you a fisher of men. All righty, we're going to pray, and we'll be back in about 12 minutes for our church service. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the chance to learn about witnessing, Lord, and thank you for the chance to learn about the gospel. I pray today.